Say to me, you only kill what keeps you alive.
What does that mean?
It means we ate every single square inch of meat off that bear over the next month. Nothing went to waste.
That's a pretty fucked up story.
Yeah, I know. Hey guys, welcome back to Spooky Tuesday, a weekly podcast where we're breaking down all of our favorite slashers, thrillers, monster movies, and black comedies on the new scariest day of the week. I'm Sydney Thompson.
I'm Monica Height.
And I'm Chelsea Duff. And this week we're talking about What Keeps You Alive. I introduced it a little bit last week, mainly just by saying we knew nothing about it other than it was about lesbian wives. I feel that that was not the worst way to go into it, but I will give you guys an IMDb summary, just so you have a taste of it. I couldn't come up with my own way to describe it without possibly spoiling too much. The IMDb summary, however, says majestic mountains, a still lake, and venomous betrayals engulf a female married couple attempting to celebrate their 1 year anniversary, which I think is probably roughly what I got from the trailer. I think I knew a little bit more than that. I gleaned a little bit more specifics, but I still didn't know like what genre of horror we were getting into. Did you guys do any further research before you watched?
I just watched the trailer.
I didn't even watch the trailer. And you know I love trailers. And I wish I hadn't even looked up the IMDb beforehand. But I had to actually, I looked up the IMDb while I was watching it because I could not figure out what anyone's name was at any given point. And I was trying to type my notes and I was calling Jackie Jules and Jules Jackie. And then I was like, Megan? And then
who's Megan?
completely lost. But I will say that that's a really sexy synopsis. Majestic mountains and a still lake, like the venomous betrayals
is really what gets me.
Very nice, very well done.
Okay, one thing that I did notice, and this goes back to Jennifer's body as well, so the two main characters are Jackie/Megan and Julie, and then we have Jennifer. What do all three of those names have in common?
J names.
And even though Julie is the least problematic of the wives,
it's Jules.
Well, Jules is short for Julie. Okay, they say her full name at one point.
Julie, she's not such a Jules though.
She got some moves, so none of them are to be trusted.
I mean, you're not wrong, but I also feel like I am hate to do it, gonna get called out for it again. I know where this is going. But I stan every single one of them. So
it's Pride Month, baby. You're supposed to.
It's Pride Month, baby. And like I said when we talked about Blood Spatter Bride, you can be Thanos, and as long as you're a lesbian, I'm still totally willing to hear you out.
I support lesbians. Good, yeah. I mean, this is the film for it. I have to say, with this movie, it was really refreshing to get like a little bit of like coitus going on with our gays here. I wrote in my notes, passionate gay kiss in the first minute. That should be the tagline.
Thanks, killing is like boobs in the first 30 seconds. This movie is like two gals being pals right off the bat.
I do like that this movie is set in the Canadian wilderness. That gave me a little giggle.
That's innately gay in and of itself.
Oh, that's a good point.
Yeah, that's super fucking gay. A Canadian forest.
Literally, like my thing was love the lesbians moving to the Canadian wilderness.
It's very cottagecore of them.
Definitely.
Very, very. We love that. We love to see it. I also was watching this and I was like, is this Sydney's worst nightmare just being in this area at all?
Here's the thing. If I was married to the woman that was like, let's go to like my grandfather's cabin in the woods, I would be like, no.
No.
I will never bring you to my great-great-grandfather's cabin in the woods then.
Because
I've got one. And you could have gotten so lucky, but now, no.
I'm going with you.
You're going to try to murder me, Chelsea. I see it in your eyes.
I mean, I think it's a risk you should be willing to take, but that's your choice.
I'll go knowing full well that you're going to kill me.
You'll have a great time for the few days before that.
Yeah, yeah. And I'll be kind of hip to it, so I won't go near any cliff edge. And maybe I'll be okay.
Look, maybe. I don't want to spoil anything too soon, but it seems like she had a couple plans up her sleeves. You know what I mean? She loves to do her research, but also she's happy to freewheel it a little when she's gotta. So don't count anything out, is what I'm telling you about our trip to the woods.
All right, I'll keep my guard up at all times.
Amazing.
Constant.
That's what I want.
Vigilance.
I love a challenge.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Setting myself up for early death, but you know, if it's by your hands, it can't be that bad. But
yeah, if you've also been picking up on where this plot line is going, you may have guessed that whole venomous betrayal mentioned in the IMDb summary is actually Jackie turning on her wife Jules in what turns out to be a larger cold-blooded, hence the venom snake reference, plot. And it's a whole thing that really goes off the rails, because I did know actually going into the movie that one of them was going to turn on the other, but I wasn't totally sure which one at first. And I also wasn't sure if it was going to be like Jennifer's body-esque paranormal demon shit, especially when Jackie breaks up that guitar and starts singing the demon bloodletting song.
I fucking loved that song. I was like, this is a great song.
Just like, a little psychological setup for her.
She's hot. She can sing. She likes, it's a demon song. I recently, when we hit 666 followers, I learned about a bunch of new demon songs I didn't know about before. I'm adding this one to the playlist. Satan Says Dance by Clap Your Hands and Say Yeah first, then this song right after.
Yeah. But like I said, I didn't know if we were getting into a paranormal movie or what the deal was. I only took notes on like 15 minutes of this movie before my dog interfered. But in those 15 minutes, I like wrote down some of the lyrics. I wrote down, there's a demon inside, blood let it out. Oh, blood let it out. And I was just like, this bitch is telling us exactly what's going to happen right off the bat, because I was so confident that she was going to like eat her or become her. Ooh, or something, especially okay. When that other woman shows up at the cabin, Sarah, who lives in the cabin across the lake, is just visiting the cabin across the lake. They've got,
I think they family cabins. There.
Yeah, I think they live there because Sarah was the reason that Sarah went over to the house was she was like, we've had some break-ins recently, and so I went, the light's never on in your house. When I saw it on, I came over. So I'm like, oh, you must be just staring at that house all day every day.
Which knowing what we know now, fair enough, she's keeping an eye out. But yeah, this woman Sarah goes over to check on the house, and when she meets Jules and Jackie, who we have solidified their names at that point as Jules and Jackie, she calls Jackie Megan, and she's like, Megan, it's been so long. And Jules is like, oh, Megan, has it been that long since you two have seen each other? Like, clearly Jules immediately picks up on the fact that Jackie's name is Jackie and this woman is calling her Megan. But I was so sure for approximately 5 minutes that Jackie had like body swapped with this woman Megan or something, that she had like eaten the original Megan and taken over Megan's life. But the demon's name was Jackie. And I was like, what if we get an old timey reveal where she's like, my name is Jacqueline from the 1800s? I don't know. I just taking a little blood spattered bride, taking a little Jennifer's body, putting them together in one lesbian super film in the woods. And I was ready to work with that, you know.
See, that's what you were thinking. Meanwhile, what I was thinking as someone who didn't know anyone's name yet.
Uh-huh.
She said Megan and I was like, oh, that's Megan. Okay.
Okay.
I didn't know she was Jackie at that point. So I was like, wow. In my notes, I was like, why the fuck is Jules so jealous? And I was like, don't be jealous, Jules. I wrote, don't be jealous, Julie, or whatever, because I didn't know her name yet either. That's and funny. I was like, why is she so mad? That this makes me mad. Why Jackie/Megan is allowed to have an ex? I don't understand this. And then I commented a lot about how Jules runs really weird. And so none of it made any fucking sense to me. And then I went to IMDb and I was like, she's not mad that she has a female friend from her past. She's mad that she's been going by a fake name. That's a little more valid.
I did think she was a little disproportionately mad about the name, because people change their names all the time for all kinds of reasons. But I guess if things were normal and not weird, Jackie would have just been like, oh, Sarah, I actually go by Jackie now. You know what I mean? She would have just like dropped it off the bat instead of being like, yes, call me Megan. Don't know me as anything other than Megan. And that's what triggered the weirdness, I think.
Mm-hmm. No, that's a really valid point. But yeah, I mean, once I got the names down, things were a lot easier. But God, the double J names really didn't help me. We're already bad at this. And like,
and
all of
a
my
Jenny
notes made
in there as well.
Yes.
Which, who? I don't even remember Jenny.
Jenny?
Jenny's the friend. The friend. That's true. The drowning victim. poor Jenny. Too many J names. So that's my biggest issue with the script, actually.
Sure, fair enough.
They could have
really honorable dumb bitch mention the writer for putting too many J names into the script.
Poor Colin Minahan. Minahan is also a fantastic last name. I love it a lot.
Assuming we're pronouncing it correctly, but I mean, I feel 65% confident.
Whatever it is, either way, it's nice and I like it. So yeah, I mean, this movie starts being sus immediately. We get a gay kiss in the first minute. We get a gay sex scene in the first 10 minutes and we get
a
Deepin
song
in the first six.
Worse.
So yeah, you know, things are going to be bad. I was really glad that it didn't turn out to be a intruder kind of thing, because once Sarah showed up in the middle of the night, I was like, this is not what I thought and I don't want that, and it wasn't, so I was really glad.
That's true. I saw a joke on Twitter the other day that was like, we're a true crime podcast and in honor of Pride Month we've decided to do only hate crimes, and I was like, uh-oh, are our gay movies gonna veer into that territory? Oh, no. If a gay person gets murdered every time, is that good representation? But you know what? It's fine. What are you gonna do? These are horror movies. Someone has to die, and for it to be an iconic gay film, probably one of the gay people is gonna die.
Yeah.
Hopefully, one of the other gay people will thrive. I mean, can you thrive in a horror movie? I guess that's questionable. Also,
Jennifer was thriving. In
but
Jennifer's body for a
tried.
While, but she thrived for a little while.
The time she was like not alive, she thrived.
She was like,
amazing.
I
love that for her.
If we're not careful, we will do another Jennifer's body episode. Like,
that's very true. And I want to talk about this movie because there is a lot to discuss, actually.
Yeah,
because after that sus moment, Jackie Megan like disappears into town the next day, and Jules is like, I would like to do a little mini triathlon where I'm just gonna row myself across the river to go snoop on Sarah and see what the deal is, but she ends up like chatting with Sarah, and that's when she's already heard a story about Jenny. Let me lay a little more groundwork for you. So she had been talking with Jackie in their little woodsy cabin, and she heard this truly fucked up story that she calls out as fucked up, where Jackie's like, yeah, my dad took me and my friend Jenny hunting in the woods and I shot a bear and then I stood there and I watched it die because my gun was jammed for no other reason. It's just because my gun was jammed.
I looked into its eyes and watched the life bleed out.
Yes.
Literally.
Yeah. And then she's like, but it was totally casual. And then we ate the bear. So actually it was sustainable. But she's heard this fucked up story about Jenny. And then Jules goes to Sarah's house and is like, oh, is this a picture of you and Megan when she was younger? And she's like, Sarah's like, yeah, and that's Jenny in the middle. And Jules, I guess, totally forgetting the bear story, or probably realistically only fixating on the part where she watched a bear die and then ate it for a month afterwards.
She was kind of preoccupied with the part where a child version of her wife like killed a mama bear in cold blood and then watched it.
It was like, I thought my dad would be proud.
I thought daddy would be proud.
Frankly, should have picked up on that more, maybe. But Sarah is like, this is Jenny in the picture. And she's like, oh, do you guys still talk to Jenny? And she's like, Jenny died 2 weeks after this photo was taken. Did Megan never mention it? That's suspicious. Megan never mentioned it to you? And Jules is like, okay, what the fuck is going on here?
Like, no, she never mentioned it. Was she supposed to?
Yeah, and I didn't pick up on the vibes that Sarah thought that Megan had murdered Jenny, but Jules got that very clearly, I guess, because she confronts Jackie about it.
Well, here's the thing. There's already been so many weird sus things that have gone down at this point. I mean, I'm going to be honest. If Adam and I were on a vacation and he thought I looked cute while I was sleeping and then left for an entire day because I looked cute sleeping, I would be like, I'm going home. How fucking dare you? I miss out on the whole fucking day just because I looked cute. I look cute all the time. Get over it. Wake me up so we can go get breakfast. I would be irate. So it already would have been over for me. But I mean, that's a big red flag. It's a huge red flag. Also, had the gun part happened yet? Or was that the shooting, the practice that happened yet?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's also that part.
I'm an incredible shot. Because Jules was joking with her and was like, your form is wrong, your shoulders need to be square, and Jackie was like, don't tell me what to do, and she just shot all three cans perfectly.
She didn't even have to say don't tell me what to do. The vibes said that.
You saw it in her eye. She was like, I'm coming, I am showing you. But I did like that Jules basically like was trying to jokingly mansplain how to hold a gun. That was hilarious.
I was like, Jules, come on. You fucking missed.
Sweetie,
your wife is a cold-blooded killer, honey.
Honestly, your wife is a literal serial killer and you just don't know it yet.
Yeah, just wait a few minutes.
Wait a few minutes and it will become abundantly clear.
Abundantly. Well,
abundantly maybe is strong, considering this is kind of like a slow burn reveal, because even after that first scene, which I will hand the reins off to somebody else if they'd like to describe it, but even after that first scene where things really get turned on its head, you don't realize quite how deep you're in it until it like continues to snowball off the chain.
It is rather off the chain. I would describe this movie as off the chain, of course. But yeah, I mean, I can't remember the exact sequence of events, though I watched this yesterday. But when does Jules confront Jackie about which I feel like she goes a little ballsy with this, where she's like, hey, yeah, I went over to Sarah's house and did you kill Jenny? It was like 0 to did you kill Jenny?
But literally like right after that, you know.
Yeah, that's their walk to the cliff.
That's on the walk to the cliff, right?
And then Jackie, Megan is like, you don't think that I killed her, did you? And she's like, no, of course. I don't know. Maybe. And then, you know, she's standing over a cliff. Mistake number one. Actually, mistake number like 800 at this point. Going to the woods was mistake number one. She's like, isn't this beautiful? And she turns around and Jackie literally is like, beats her off of the cliff.
First, I thought it was like in revenge for the murder accusation, and it's not fair enough. But also, I was like, well, you did accuse her of murder, so can you be that mad that she's proving you right?
Oh my god,
it just felt like, I
can't believe your team, Jackie. You're gonna
accuse murder. Look, here's the thing. As the movie just kept going, it's not that I wasn't rooting for Jules, because I was, but it felt like, okay, there's not a lot of IMDb trivia about this movie, so I tried to read a lot of interviews to find cool things, and I didn't find much. Because most of the interviews really were trying not to be spoilery at all, which they all ended up being like, so what's your process? And I was like, that's great, but that's not helpful to me right now.
I don't want to know if their method.
Great for you. I love that. Actually, I don't love that the actress who plays Jules is dating the director, because I don't know. I wanted her to be a lesbian in real life, I guess, maybe. But I'm happy for them if they're happy. Anyway, a lot of the interviews talked about how evenly matched Jackie and Jules are, and how that makes it really interesting, because it's not just someone fleeing like an all-powerful killer like it is in a lot of horror movies, where it's like there's almost no hope for them. Like, very easily things could have changed. Like who had the power fluctuated a lot in this movie. And there were a lot of times that I thought like Jackie was not going to come out on top. And it's not that I was rooting for Jules to die, because I did like her and I wanted her to survive, but I couldn't help having the thought, they hate to see a girl boss winning every single time. They hate to see a girl boss winning.
I was like, you know, she's really good at this.
She's so good. Like, they hate to see a girl boss winning, Monica.
Doing her art, you know what I mean? Like, she loves to sing her little demon song. She loves to sing her little demon song, and she loves to absolutely manipulate and gaslight people for years at a time and then take their life. And that's wonderful for her. She's really good at it.
She likes a challenge, and I just feel like she's put in a lot of work here, and we're not going to allow that to narratively pay off.
Isn't this
unfair?
Gatekeep, gaslight, girl boss.
She's everyone, and I love that for her.
Wow. Look at her go.
A true star.
Obviously, you know, she's got her craft, Jackie. But it was just absolutely so fucked to watch her in the immediate aftermath after just yeeting Jules off the cliff. Because, like, wow, this is so fucked. And she's just, like, is all business immediately. She's like, oh, fuck, Jules ripped my shirt. Well, I got to go back to the house and burn my shirt and change it. And while I'm here, I should probably practice being like, oh my God, my wife, she fell off a cliff. 911. Oh, Jules, are you okay? Like, oh my God, that part was amazing. Acting, 10 out of 10. Incredible. Within the film and outside of the film. Does that make sense? She's a great actress because she's an actress. But inside of the film, Jackie's character is a great actress. And also, probably my favorite part of this entire movie was like once she goes back, there is a fatal flaw here though, because Jackie is a little too sure of herself, it seems. She's done this a few too many times, and so she thinks she's too much of a girl boss, and so she waits too long, and that gives Jules the time to like drag her corpse away from the scene of the crime. Big mistake.
Totally. Huge. Because if she were really prepared, she would have had her cell phone on her so that she could go down the cliff like right afterwards and call 911. You could say that her strategy was in part, if Jules was not already dead on impact, to like let her bleed out at the bottom of the cliff or whatever. Like, maybe that was part of it. But timing wise, you'd think you'd want the 911 call to be pretty right off the bat. And you'd think it would be easy to be like, she was falling and she grabbed my sleeve and I tried to pull her back up, but I couldn't. Like, you'd think it'd be easy to come up with some explanation for the ripped sleeve without having to fully burn the shirt.
Yeah, or she could have like gotten her arm cut on a rock, like climbing down the hill. Okay, you know.
There was a better option. She fumbled the ball on that one.
Big fumble.
But one detail that I loved is that she does go all the way back to the cabin to get her phone, and she doesn't make the 911 call she was going to do. She doesn't make it until she gets back to the cliff and realizes Jules isn't there. Because when she went home and was like practicing in the mirror, I thought she was going to call right away. And I was like, they're going to ping your location and they are going to see that you are not at the cliff, that you went all the way back home. But they didn't do that. And I was like, okay, that is one detail that I did really like about that scene, about her plan, because it like built into the script that opportunity for Jules to flee.
Yeah. And also, okay, besides Sydney, you must have been stoked because there's such good amount of blood in this movie.
Always
going to be more, but there was a really nice amount. And the gore in this was like so fucked up, like the body gore, like Jules, like the way they did her blood after in the aftermath, stunning, beautiful, incredible. Also will have nightmares again tonight about her popping her shoulders back into spot, into their spot. As someone with a double jointed shoulders, that really upset me. and the finger too, the fucking finger. Why did she do that? That was unnecessary to put her finger back into place. She should have just left that, I think. But the moment when Jules is like hiding behind the tree and Jackie's out there stalking her, like right immediately after the fall, and she's like watching her, and Jackie's like, honey baby, where are you okay, I can't believe this happened, blah blah blah. And then Jules, like, it looks like she's kind of being swayed, like to be like, oh, I'm gonna go to her. And right then Jackie like breaks character, and like her face goes completely slack, and she looks immediately pissed, and she's like, fuck. And I was just like, oh,
insane.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah,
iconic.
And then 1 second later she picks it right back up too and goes right back to the baby, please talk to me, I love you so much, I'm scared, blah blah blah. She picks it right back up.
Yeah, oh my god. And then there's like I don't know, there's the pacing of this movie, like sometimes it gets a little slow, but like it in this point in particular, when Jules like passes out for a while on the tree and she wakes up and Jackie's like 5 feet from her in the dark, and she does that whole quote where she's just over it and she's like, you must be thinking like my wife has had a psychotic break, all of that. And she's like, well, I know these woods like the back of my hand, so I'll find you, or some fucked shit like that.
Okay, but do you know what I loved about that moment?
What?
She had both of these moments, both the when she breaks and does the fuck earlier, and then this moment where she fully drops the pretense and goes, I'm done playing around. You must be confused. I loved that both of those happened when Jules was right there to overhear it, because I am imagining Jackie going throughout that forest doing that speech a billion different times. In a couple different iterations, being like, where are you? Call out to me if you can hear me. And every few minutes just be like, do you know what? Fuck you. Like every loses her patience and is like, I will kill you. And Jules just got so lucky as to hear that specific one. But there's like 23 of them that happened.
Minimum has to be.
Yeah, there's no way it was so convenient that Jules just happened to be there. I think Jackie is going around there making all kinds of murderous threats to the woods at large, and that's just the one that we caught.
I love that for Jackie, though.
She really workshopped her speech, and, like, it really paid off. Like, the work that she put into her craft is stunning, once again.
She is a true actor.
I mean, Oscar for Jackie Megan, honestly. Oscar for this movie can be discussed at another time, but Oscar for that character, yes.
For sure, 100%.
But yeah, they have this whole moment out in the woods where Jackie's searching for her, but eventually Jules makes it back to the cabin and then like stitches her spleen up or whatever, which, blech.
Well,
but
we
she's
learn-
got like, Yes. Yeah.
Later, like, oh, you should have gone to med school, or like, you should have been a doctor.
Why didn't you go to? Yeah, exactly.
So
yeah,
maybe like she studied like pre-med and something happened, so she dropped out.
Yeah, that was an annoying part where at one point someone asks like, oh, why aren't you a doctor? Maybe it's Jackie in like a
it's a flashback
kind of thing, and she's like, I don't want to talk about it, and then they never do.
But they gave us that setup at least to be like, see, there is a reason that she was able to there diagnose her own injuries and be like, broken ankle, no, sprained ankle, bruised spleen, I think was probably a little too far for a self-diagnosis. But
tell it wasn't bursting at the seams. That's good.
But to be able to be lying there, having just been pushed off the cliff by your wife of one full ass year, who you presumably dated for a while before that, and to have gone through that,
they are yourself, lesbians.
That's true. They could have married immediately.
They could have just immediately got married.
They took the U-Haul to the courthouse.
I mean, frankly, are we willing to believe that Jackie Megan is above fully love bombing someone? Because that feels perfectly in character with her plan.
Oh, no, 100%.
No, I definitely think they've definitely been together for, like, I would say less
than a year and a month.
Yeah, like,
a year and 1 month. You're at 3 days.
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's something like that where they just, like, haven't fully gotten to know each other yet.
Yeah, obviously. I mean, how long can you put the performance on for, you know what I mean? Oscar for Jackie Megan, but how long can you live a whole ass performance, other than I guess society taught us a full 18 years.
Based on the flashbacks alone, they only knew each other for one night where they were making all those bird sounds at each other.
Call!
Is the subtext, okay, mm-hmm. Some of the imagery gets a little too heavy-handed in this movie. By the by, pro stuff that happens later on. Also, like, is the bald eagle a natural predator of a crow? Is that something that I was supposed to glean from that moment where Jackie's like, well, I'm a bald eagle? And I was like, it's like, I get that bald eagle is a beautiful bird of prey, but also it's like a non-sexy answer, just saying, to your favorite animal. But that
don't crows always have few predators. Eagles, hawks, owls, and human hunters.
Bald eagles.
So perhaps bald eagles do hunt crows.
Wow. A little heavy-handed there, Jackie Megan, but, you know, went right over Jules's head.
Bald eagles have been known to kill and eat not only younger crows, but also fully developed adults. Oh, wow, no. Jackie really knew her crow facts, and she was ready to whip them out.
Can't like, show me them crows.
She can't do a crow call, but she knows what eats crows.
Ooh, wow. Eat crow!
Ha ha ha!
Ha 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 ha! Speaking, anyway, also, speaking of eating crow, Chelsea still owes us an apology for the boy.
Oh yeah, this is a great opportunity for you to apologize on the pod. He's turning purple right now.
I still think that the more interesting movie would be about Brahms himself and not about Greta. But I will say that people were very fond of the boy, and the Tumblr girlies really went hard on the boy content that I shared, and they are still going hard on the boy content that I shared and created. And so I would like to issue an apology to the Tumblr girlies and half of an apology to the two of you. But apology aside, what I really promised you was a formal I'm wrong proclamation. And I will deliver that to you because the public sentiment is not on my side on that one. And so if is the boy a good movie or a bad movie, publicly I will say I'm wrong. The boy must be a good movie. It must be based on the responses that I've received.
Based on the empirical scientific data that we have based on our The Boy episode.
Based on the Tumblr notes that I got, it must be a good movie. So
a well-loved
you
movie.
You can't beat science, okay?
I was wrong. I've tried to sneakily escape saying that on the record for possibly months now. You called me out on in a moment that I could not. So kudos to you on that one.
Well, you know, I'm taking what I can get, and I do appreciate that this happened.
And yeah, I mean, also, further than I thought I would ever go.
Right.
Listen, sometimes you just have to put somebody on the spot to make them do it. And I always say bullying builds character.
And I always say bullying works. So no, I'm kidding. Anyway, Keeps You Alive, the 2018 film.
You know who else is a bully? Jackie Megan in What Keeps You Alive.
It's crazy.
Did I successfully transition back to the movie we're supposed to talk about?
It was really fun.
Very but, okay. smooth.
I will say I have mad respect for Jules in all of her attempts to keep herself alive during this movie. But getting in the boat when you know that Jackie is an incredible shot and has like a rifle that has scope on it. Like the only way you escape a bullet is if you zigzag. I'm like, you don't have the strength to zigzag this boat right now. I thought it was going to be all over right then. I was like, how did she not shoot her? But I guess
this is a very short movie.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that I can think of is she doesn't want to shoot her out in the middle of the lake where Sarah or anyone could possibly see.
Yeah,
but
smart.
She does fire the gun. She just somehow misses, which also does not make sense when we saw what an incredible sharpshooter she is. But
she
I guess the
missed
implication...
on purpose, like kind of just to scare her by like shooting at her.
Because she does get in her own boat and she rows right after her and then nothing. Just like has a stern talking to with her. So
there's
right in front of
like...
Daniel.
Yeah.
Sarah's husband, who's just like drinking the entire movie. He is just like,
chilling.
We're drinking. Like I'm drunk. And then he's just,
he
like,
loves his red wine.
They're like screaming at each other on the boat. And he's like, see you at dinner at 8 tonight, guys.
He's like, hey, ladies, like, how you doing over there?
You guys all right? Lovers quarrel? Like, okay. But I have to say that I just want to put shine on the fact that there is a rowboat chase scene in this movie. And I've never seen that before. And that's really cool.
Their upper body strength, because that's the second time she has faced, like, technically the third. She had to row back.
Yeah.
Like, I would just be like, no, I have the upper body strength of a newborn baby. I would not make it.
Can't relate, but good for them.
When Jules pulled out when Jackie pulled out the gun, I fully thought Jules was just going to like lie down in the rowboat and like tuck herself under the top. And I didn't know if that rowboat would stop a bullet, but I was like, that would be the only strategy. I would just simply float in the lake and hope for the best.
Simply lay down to die.
I will just simply lie down.
Also, like, just absolutely ridiculous that she would be able to row that fast, Jules, I mean, when she's just popped both of her shoulders back into place after them being dislocated, like, from falling. So that, no.
I will say, though, we saw that the second that Jackie got in her own boat, she could row approximately 3 times as fast.
Yes.
So she got up to her pretty immediately. Eventually, she managed to, like, drag her back to shore, essentially. And then we got this whole, like, fucked up scene where Jackie has Jules in the bathtub and Jackie is, like, tending to her wounds, but is also being like, don't forget you're at my mercy. Don't forget I could kill you any second that I wanted to. And also, I will kill everybody else if you don't behave at this dinner that we now have to have with Sarah and Daniel.
Yeah, like, I get why Jules, like, did that. It was, like, her, like, last hurrah. But I feel like there must have been some way she could have been, like, help me right then and there instead of, luring Sarah and Daniel to their death
to the house.
As well. Like, she should have just yelled out, like, right then, like,
she's trying to kill me
or something. No, I mean, like, Daniel, can I use your bathroom? You know, and then it would be really weird if Jackie was like, no, you can't use Daniel's bathroom. You know, that would have also worked.
Babe, just come back and shit in our cabin. What do you mean?
Babe,
there's an entire forest you can shit in.
Just jump off the side of the Daniel and do it. Yeah, like there were
alternatives. That's a good point, though.
Yeah, there are other things she could have said instead of being like, please come to our secluded cabin with a murderer there.
Right? Even if she did, though, I mean, the whole reason she didn't say anything more specific than that, I guess, is because Jackie had a knife and was like, if you say anything, I'll kill you right now, essentially. But also, if you feel like you're going to... I mean, her strategy, I guess, in inviting Sarah to Daniel and Daniel to dinner was like, I will buy myself some time, at least until after this dinner. Potentially, I'll come up with an escape plan or something will happen. But if she had said something right then, even if she believed that Jackie would gut her and then get out to go get Sarah and Daniel, wouldn't she think like Sarah and Daniel would... It'd be hard to get right out of the boat onto the dock and running after them. You know what I mean? They would have a moment. They're... She might not make it, but as it turns out, you know, perhaps that would have been in the best interest of the majority of people involved.
Yeah. Because
her plan didn't work out so well.
No, it really
didn't. No, her plan got Sarah and Daniel both got.
Got too. Like, those were some fun kills. But I just love.
I did have a good time with those.
Yeah, the whole dinner party scene was fucking one so uncomfortable. Just like the idea of it in general is a horror show to me without the murder aspect at all. Like having to have a double date dinner with like your estranged childhood best friend who you fucking can't stand. Like that, and like that is the nightmare.
Psychopath.
Yes, like okay.
I'm not talking from Jackie's perspective. I'm talking from Sarah's perspective.
Yes. I don't know why she would go in the first place. Like, why would she want to?
Fuck social niceties, Sarah. Save your own life. Trust your gut.
Right? Like,
she was a psycho from the get-go.
Feels wrong. Don't do it.
And also, seriously. Daniel, to be out on the porch with Jackie alone and be like, haha, my wife thinks you're a psychopath. Like,
he didn't even say it, though. That was such a good part, too. My wife kind of thinks you're, and Jackie's like, a psychopath. And he's like, oh, fuck. Gotcha. But also, like, I feel like Jules could have waited for a different moment to tell Sarah. Like, there was not a lot of good planning with that either.
There was one
the strategy
time.
Strategy was not on point.
There was one time that I like wrote in my notes, like right when they get there, Daniel goes with Jackie into the kitchen and Sarah like goes to hug Jules. And I would have been like, this would be the right time to whisper, be like, help me. She's trying to kill me. You know what I mean? Like, so that way, like Sarah can at least be like more prepared and like figure out like, okay, what do we have to do? But like, girl, why are you whispering it right in front of a glass wall? Who thought that was a good idea?
Seriously. Oh my God. And then that look of realization on Sarah's face was so good, where she's like, yes, I knew this bitch was a psychopath, but then there's no time to be like, I told you so, because she's already whipped out the hunting knife and sliced his throat. Oh, just beautiful. Just beautiful gore. Just stunning stuff. And then of course Sarah makes a telltale classic horror movie mistake where she goes upstairs, which is, I was just like, honey, it's over. There's
never
just
go upstairs.
But yeah, when she's, and also when Jackie's like about to stab Sarah in the sternum, just as she said she would do. And she goes, Jenny put up more of a fight. Oh, oh God.
Which is so fucked because we learned what happened to Jenny earlier, which is that she drowned in the lake. And then we hear Jackie's original version of what happened to Jenny, which is that they were doing a swimming competition and Jenny must have cramped up and drowned. And so you can imagine what you think happened between them. But to see this like full blown battle between Jackie, Megan, and Sarah, and then have her say Jenny put up more of a fight implies it was so much more than just a simple drowning in the water.
Oh, yeah. Oh, brutal. This is why I don't hang out with old friends.
You literally are talking to one right now.
Okay, well, like, we stayed friends the whole time, so it's fine.
So there was no room for things to go truly off the rails in the meantime.
Yeah. I was looped in with you long, like, tangentially enough, even when you were in college and I was in college, where I was like, she's not killing people for sport.
She doesn't have four wives that have all mysteriously died. I mean, people have secrets, Monica. You can never truly be inside of someone's head, as we learned from this movie.
I'm so glad we're recording remotely.
I did promise in the beginning to murder you in the woods. I mean, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah, you kind of set this up for me. So
this is why I will not go to the woods. I don't see why.
But yeah, there is this other moment. Because when you hear that Jenny put up more of a fight, you start to be like, how many times has she done this? And at least one other time, if not several other times, because you get this moment between Jackie and Jules where they're like sitting by the fireplace. I think this is after Sarah and Daniel, or maybe it was before the dinner scene, but regardless.
I think it was before the dinner scene, but yeah.
Okay. Possibly before the dinner scene, after the bath scene. That's all I know. Because like I said, I don't have a lot of notes to help me like organize the chronology of this movie, but I wrote down this dialogue because I loved it so much. But Jules says, your story, what your dad said, to only kill what keeps you alive. This isn't what he meant. You're sick, Jackie, but I can get you help. It's okay. It's not easy to admit. I understand, but I'll stay by your side. I will. Blah, blah, blah. She keeps going. And then Jackie just looks her in the face and goes, I never told you about my first wife, did I? And I was like, oh, shit. That's the moment where you're like, she's not just, this is not her first rodeo. It's
serial killer.
This is not something she did once as a kid and has been chasing that high since. She has become an adult with practice in this field. She is a professional. Presumably, this is the only way she's getting any livelihood. It's just
the thrill of the hunt.
She tells a whole story about Erica. And this is actually a really great quote, too, where she says, we were on vacation. She went swimming after having a few too many. I mourned her, prayed with her parents, read at her funeral. I'll do the same at yours. Which is like,
Is that why we think she's changing names? So, like, what was her name when she was married to Erica? So that way, like, they're not catching up. Like, she has, like, you know, two dead wives and a dead friend.
Maybe Jackie is her previous wife.
Yeah. She was Erica for a time. Wonder if she ever went by Jenny.
One of my absolute favorite scenes is after she's murdered Sarah and Daniel, we see her laying plastic down, and then she starts chopping up their bodies and being like, I know exactly how deep this lake is, like, blah, 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 blah. Like, oh my God, it's so good. And I learned that if you have to clean up blood, you have to blot and not scrub, because forensics will immediately see a scrub job.
If you scrub, it'll embed the stain.
Yeah. Come on. Obviously, this is Jules's first murder. And it shows.
She's not ready.
And it's frankly embarrassing.
But yeah, there's also this other moment that reveals like just how far along Jackie is in this. But that doesn't totally make sense. It's like a great symbolic moment to show you the deal, but like in terms of getting away with crimes, I feel it is a bit of a fatal flaw. But they're in the living room in front of the fireplace again, and Jules sees something by this stuffed bear head, this taxidermied bear head they have on the walls, right next great to a taxidermy. Deer, by the way. Very clearly a one person is prey, one person is predator symbolism right off the beginning. But she sees this box and she pulls it down, and it reminded me of another famous scene from another famous horror movie that I won't reference too specifically because it's such a good shock that I would hate to spoil it for anyone. But she pulls down this box and Jules opens it, and she finds that there are like 10 lockets inside, just like the one that Jackie gave her earlier in the film, implying like she is ready, or she has done this before. We don't know if they were past lockets. We don't know if they are future lockets, like to be prepped for future wives. But the implication that like she's locked and loaded, ready to go, incredible.
Oh, and like so chilling.
So fucking chilling. I definitely thought that it meant that she had killed like 6 people.
That's what I was thinking too. I was like, oh, these are her trophies.
Yeah, I thought it was a trophy box because it makes sense that it's trophies because it's literally with her first kill, which is the bear, you know?
Ooh.
Yeah.
There you go.
And serial killers love trophies.
Exactly. I learned that from
5 billion different TV shows.
And if it's on TV,
I've seen every episode of Criminal Minds. We know about serial killers trophies.
We know about serial killers trophies.
But this leads us into one of the I would say the segment of the film, which is like this part until the end where things get way more artistic, like with the cinematography and everything and the symbolism. And sometimes it's a little heavy handed. And this scene was really long, but I really loved the blacklight scene. With like
that
the
was so music, good.
Her playing the piano with the blood on her face. Like, oh, God. Stunning, stunningly done. Great job, Colin Minihan.
And then the way it ends. What is
it? It's Minihan. It's not Han Mini.
But the way that scene ends when she's playing the song and then she just plays like one wrong note at the end, I thought was really great. And was the discordant moment in that, like the tonal shift of that was, thought, really fun.
Oh, I literally can't get over how hot she looks in the blacklight blood.
Oh my God. She's so hot. Like, it just has to be said that Jackie's so hot.
Her hot to crazy ratio, perfect balance.
Chef's kiss.
Right. But so, after the blood scene, it is time for Jackie to take Jules back out to pasture, you know, and she's driving. She's like, we gotta do round 2 with this. I'm gonna get it right. And
she's really committed to her cliff plan.
Yeah,
but also the lead up to them getting in the Jeep to go to this, to her death, to Jules's death, is also so fucked up. She's like, you gotta eat breakfast. There, if they do an autopsy, there needs to be food in your stomach. And then Jules is like, why do you have pliers here? And she's like, well, it wouldn't make sense for you to have stitches in your stomach, would it? And so they like rip out all of her spleen stitches before they take her out to throw her off the cliff again.
Oh my God.
Oh God. Fucked shit.
Oh God. But so then they are driving back to the cliff, you know, in the car. And Jules takes out a fucking trank dart and just goes,
Wah! Which Did we have the setup for why they have trank darts? Did we see any trank darts before that moment? Or
I'd seen it earlier at some point because I remember being like, oh yeah, a dart. But what no one says they're trank darts. And I don't think that Jules necessarily knows that they're trank darts either.
Because I don't know. If you just like common sense, the darts with like that poofy tail at the end.
In a hunting family.
Is typically a tranquilizer dart, always.
Oh, yes, of course. I forgot about how
I've seen Wile E. Coyote.
I was about to be like, have you never watched a TV show?
I have, but I have not paid attention to those types of details.
Again, I'm very detail oriented, Monica. I know these things.
I know. I appreciate it. It really brings a lot to the pod and to my understanding of the film. So thank you.
Yeah, she whips out this tranquilizer dart in the car and just like stabs Jackie. And at first you think it's just like bought her a moment to escape, which unfortunately, stupidly, she runs right to the cliff edge and then stands on it like, uh-oh, now what? Which is a little bit like, Jules, I know
you did this.
This through. I know you really couldn't plan in advance, but there has to be a better improv option than this. Like, oopsies. There's no way you were like, oh, I'll just go right to the cliff where I'll be safe, because historically speaking, I have always been safe standing on the edge of this cliff.
Yeah. Babe. Learn from your mistakes.
It does work out for her, though, because the trank dart kicks in right in time, approximately 5 seconds before Jackie Megan would have reached her and shoved her over. So, you know, that goes her way. And Jules hops in the car to drive off. And then she's like, do you know what? I'm a crow. And crows are the smartest birds in the forest. Even if bald eagles eat the young ones and the fully developed adult ones or whatever Google said earlier. So she returns, I guess presumably just to be like, I'm finishing this. Even if I escape, I don't want you to be able to do this to anybody else. Like, this is for me. This is, she doesn't say this. This is just the subtext. This is for Jenny. This is for Erica and all future potential Jennies and Ericas. So she goes back to get Jackie and gets shoved right over the fucking cliff again.
I kind of thought, I was like, well, maybe she's going back.
You guys skipped a huge part.
Yeah, she's in the house for like a while first.
Oh yeah, no, she goes back and she sees the same thing that happened with Jack for when Jackie came back to find Jules after the original cliff push at the beginning of the movie. And she's like, fuck, she's not there. So Jackie Megan was no longer there. The trank dart wore off, apparently.
And
so
honestly, weak trank dart.
I know. She did pull it out really fast, so like maybe that's part of it, but like I don't fucking know. I didn't even know it was a trank dart.
Most animals don't have thumbs, I guess, so maybe it is like
that's a slow-releasing
serum.
Yeah, and so at that point for me, if I never would have gone back. I wouldn't have, when I saw, while driving, if I saw a crow, I wouldn't have been like, I'm a crow too. And look at that crow. Wow. I'm going to fly back and save the day. I like that part like made me roll my eyes so fucking hard. But like, good for her. It's great to be inspired. And I love birds as well. So like, I can't be too mad.
I kind of thought she was going back because in my head, I was like, you know, the trank dart will wear off. She's just going to destroy a bunch of evidence. And you know what I mean? Like that's, and like, maybe she'll blame me for the murders of these two people. And so it would have been that was like what was going through my head, that she was like, I've got to go back and finish all of this or like get evidence and blah, 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 blah.
I would have just fucking called the cops immediately. Sorry, that's the only option in this place, and be like, let me get my story on the record now before this psycho bitch comes and tells you the opposite, you know?
But she can't find, but that's earlier that she can't find a phone. Although presumably they're still smashed or hidden or wherever they were.
She's in a car though. Drive your car to any place.
Sarah and Daniel's house probably has phones.
Yeah.
Right.
They live there all the time. Maybe they have a landline.
But she only knows how to get there via rowboat. She doesn't know how to get there by
Excellent
land.
Point. Excellent
One
point.
By land, two if by sea. Oh my
God. So yeah. applicable here.
But when she goes back and Megan is gone, Megan Jackie is gone, like I would be like, all right, well, I did my darndest to try to avenge Erica and Jenny, and now I'm for sure going to the fucking cops. And so she just goes back to the house, and when she goes back to the house, I'm like, okay, like, I know that you were saying earlier, Chelsea, that like they're evenly matched, and so like it was fun that they're evenly matched. I was like, they're not evenly matched. Jules is gonna fucking die. Like, she is just asking to die right now. Like, she is throwing herself on the sword, and I was like, that's really sweet of you, but also couldn't be me.
I did like, though, because there was a moment of that where she was like, I'm the hunter now, bitch, where she like blasts her metal song from earlier that Jackie hated right off the bat, where Jules was like, this is our song. That was like one of the few quotes I wrote down in the beginning. I have like 10 notes, and one of them in the beginning was when Jackie said, I knew you were a fixer-upper, Jules, but this is worse than I could have ever imagined about her music taste. First of all, now in hindsight, she called her a fixer-upper. What a cunt. What a bitch. But yeah, that she blasts that song into the forest and is like, come get me, I thought was kind of a badass moment. I thought that is it wise? I don't know. It almost worked out for her. She just was not quite sure enough in herself, because she does get Jackie at gunpoint. She does have Jackie like kneeling on the ground with her hands in the air and the rifle pressed to her skull. But then Jackie, who is a thinker and a planner and good on her feet, is just like, you're gonna hurt yourself with that gun because it's an antique and it's gonna blow back in your face, not through my head. And Jules hesitates for long enough that Jackie's able to get the upper hand.
Yes. Gatekeep, gaslight, girl boss.
Never hesitate.
See a girl boss winning.
Seriously, it's just really winning.
Because okay, at that point though, Jackie had done so much. She had an elaborate plan. She improvised when the plan didn't go as well as she wanted it to. You know what I mean? She really, at every point, even kneeling on the ground, hands in the air, gun to her head, she managed to switch things up. I just feel like Jackie was really putting in the work, and it wasn't rewarded.
No. I mean, this is her first time trying to kill, and Jackie's done it like 8 times, and so she just didn't have the experience, unfortunately. It's just too bad. But okay, so how then, remind me, does Jackie incapacitate Jules? Because she like gets her unconscious.
They're fighting in the attic, remember? So we don't like fully see.
Oh, we don't
what
even
happens.
Oh, that's a great scene.
Yes, that's a really interesting shot scene.
Yeah, that was really well done. Like, there are a lot of like fun cinematic things that they did with the cinematography, and I was just like, all right, this guy's got an exciting eye. Good for him. good for you, Colin. But yeah, it's just sad to see, because then Jules is like unconscious for like the final moments of her life. Pretty much, she just gets carted off in the Jeep to the same cliff as before. And
we've now visited this cliff approximately 1,200 times,
right?
Very
this
popular
cliff. Deserves a supporting actor nomination for the Oscars.
Seriously,
there
it's
were
very
five
beautiful.
Actors in this movie, and one of them is the cliff.
Yeah. That's true. But yeah, that final moment of Jules' life, maybe, is when Jackie is about to yeet her off the cliff, and she wakes up in the last second and is like, please, no. And then she just is immediately shoved off. Great. Beautifully done. But I have to say that the award for most fucked up kill does in the end go to Jules herself, because
oh yeah,
like, I knew that the fact that Jackie's diabetic was gonna be a huge part of it, because
yes,
like they made
right when you first got there, yeah, and she's like, hey babe, have you seen my insulin? You're like, gotta make a mental note about that one.
That was before I even knew their names. And I wrote in my notes, okay, long hair is diabetic. Will that be relevant?
Of course. Of course. We don't just give people real life traits without them coming back to be their downfall. Apparently they can't just like have a just casually have a diabetic character. Just like we can't casually have a gay wife couple. They have to kill each other.
Nothing is casual in a movie.
Nothing is casual. But yeah, I mean, beautiful thing for Jackie Megan to think she's got it in the bag, and except for the fact that she didn't take her insulin on that day, which, like, honey, you gotta keep that shit with you. And she doesn't pay attention, shoots it into her tum-tum, and then she notices that the laptop is askew, and there is a final message from Jules, which is so, like, the performance in that in and of itself, very nice. Great job, Jules, being a fucking psycho bitch. Because, like, what a way to go when you, like, it's, like, almost more horrifying than any of the other deaths that we know about. Because, like, she had already injected herself with the hydrogen peroxide. And she knows that some shit can happen, and there's literally nothing that she can do. And she feels fine now, but there's nothing that she can do because that blood clot is headed for her head, and there's nothing she can fucking do. Oh, God.
I want to record a video that just starts off with, like, if you're seeing this, then I'm already dead. I don't know what I'll say, but I want to record one of those kind of videos.
It's an iconic trope.
It is. Oh,
it's a great, great trope. Yeah, but okay, I love this movie. I had a really good time, but the last little scene is so fucking heavy-handed artistry that I was just like, oh my God. Yeah. She's running through the forest. She looks like shit, love her, but she's dying, so it's not her fault. And then the bear is there, and I was like, is the bear actually there, and she's gonna get mauled to death by a bear as like the bear's revenge? That's what I really thought was gonna happen. And I was like, that's kind of stupid, but it was just a flashback.
There's like a surprisingly large amount of flashbacks in this movie.
You know, and which is interesting, so I couldn't because, tell it of the flashback.
Yeah, and half of them are to the same one scene,
yeah,
multiple times, where we get that crow bald eagle dialogue fully twice, just to really remind you. It's not like you see part of it earlier and then the second time it's extended and you get the I'm a bald eagle for the first time being like, oh, she's always been the predator, like. No. The only reveal is like how the bird conversation was set up. And I honestly don't even remember it at this point.
I just was like, how many times can I hear these women make bird sounds? Like at least three, I guess. And I really love the choice that they made to show her in the raptures of her stroke the whole time, every second of it for like a whole minute. That was...
I also
something
liked
to behold that will how we stay see... with me for a while.
Well, I like that we also, you know, see, so we saw the bear, but we also see baby teenage Jules shoot the bear. And so it looks like she shot herself.
Megan.
Yeah. Yes. And the bear, the shot hits the bear. The stroke hits Jackie Megan. She hits the ground. Oh my God. Dead. It's steeped. In something, what's the word I'm trying to say?
Meaning.
Symbolism, metaphor, all of those things, all of the above.
I thought it was totally heavy-handed, but also I did really like it.
Yeah.
But it's not even the last scene. We get like one more moment. And I watched it with subtitles. Did any of you not watch it with subtitles?
No, I watched it with subtitles.
I watched it with subtitles.
Okay. I would love to talk to somebody who watched that last scene without subtitles, because watching it with subtitles, it cuts back to the bottom of the cliff where Jules's presumably dead body has been thrust for the second time, and it's like from her perspective, so you're not looking at her but you hear like a gasp or like a breath, and on the subtitles it says Jules breathes or something like
that. Yeah, and I was like, well, in case there was anything I didn't get about what was happening, yeah. Thank you.
But if there wasn't the subtitles, I wonder if it would be like that Inception moment where it's like, did she breathe? Did she not breathe? Was that the wind? Like, would people be debating it if the subtitles didn't clearly confirm what happened?
I'll go back and I'll watch it without the subtitles and see if it sounds like a breath.
Okay, but I want to know, how does this bitch survive being yeeted off a cliff twice? And okay, like, she well, already not has that tall of- from the first, but she already has like, well, you know, like a sprained ankle, like her spleen stitches are ripped out. So like, those are probably fucked again. Like,
and we don't know that she survives because she very much could bleed to death the second time around.
Her legs could be
actually
broken this time.
My legs!
The gag that just came out of me. Oh man,
I love a SpongeBob reference. Always timely, always appropriate.
I do think that she lives for sure, but also I was like, she's dead, but she took out Jackie Megan, and so she did the world a service, but also disservice because she was so hot.
Braver than the truth.
the only thing I could think the first time around when she survived was she must have really benefited from the fact that it happened so fast and was such a shock, because I feel like if she was falling, she would have like braced her body for impact. And instead it happened so fast that she probably was like fully limp essentially, which helps you when you have an injury like that, because if you're bracing for impact, your body doesn't like absorb the shock as well. Whereas if you're limp, your body is like kind of just goes with it, and it's less harmful to you.
A lot about this.
Thank you so much. I have gone rock climbing. I don't know if that's relevant. Maybe that's not where I learned it.
I had too, but I didn't learn that. Fuck. Good to know.
What? This is innocent information. But yeah, I mean, the second time, I guess she was very recently unconscious, so maybe she was not awake enough, conscious enough, aware enough, and she went limp again a second time. I mean, I don't know. You're right. It is like, how did she survive this twice being shoved off a cliff? But I am willing to give it to her. I'm willing to give it to her. Especially, I mean, you could argue that cliff has, you could argue this cliff has been demonstrated to not be tall enough to be fatal once already. So maybe she could be shoved off a third time and they would be like, we keep telling you she's not going to die from this cliff.
Learn from your mistakes.
Jackie Googled how tall or how big, deep, what are words for lakes? Jackie Googled how deep the lake was, but she did not do enough Googling clearly about heights you need to fall from for it to be fatal.
Right. She should have found a higher cliff or one with more jagged rocks.
Yeah. She was on kill like 9 and she got cocky. And that's the moral of the story, is don't get cocky, you know?
Wow. Fair.
Fair. So
we will remember that.
How could this movie be gayer?
Well, we talked last week about how we wanted a film with a lesbian couple actually getting to be a lesbian couple. And I would argue that was minimal in this movie. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it could be gayer in that we get a gay couple who actually loves each other.
Yeah, that would have been really cool to see, like, gay that joy. Would be gayer, like, for but sure. You don't even see gay joy in gay films where it's not a horror film. So I don't know what I was expecting or why I was expecting that. That was never going to happen.
We just want nice things, okay?
I think that's fair.
Love each other.
I will say I was very, very afraid once they revealed that Jackie Megan was a psychopath, that it was also going to be revealed that she's not even gay, but she just likes killing women. I think she is at least confirmed gay. I think she's for sure gay. So that is gay. But that's really all I can say for this movie. It could be a lot gayer still.
I wish we did not get interrupted in our sex scene by Sarah.
Yeah.
Like, if they would have just given us that and then be like,
all we got is a dry hump.
Right? But I was like, look how hot these women are together. Like, they're in love. It's passionate. And then all of it, know what I mean? Like, I wanted to see that. And then I think I would have felt more of a betrayal.
And it got hot and heavy, like, so fast also. Like, Jackie was sitting there playing her demon bloodletting song. Jules picked the guitar out of her hands and was, like, so hot. They started making out. A second later, heavy, heavy breathing. Like, they were going for it.
I was ready to see coitus. I said at the end of last episode that that's what I wanted from this movie, and I still didn't get it.
Still waiting.
I don't think any of the rest of the movies we have planned for this month are going to give it to me either, and so I'm pissed off.
It's okay, Monica. We'll just find like a nice gay softcore porn and watch that.
Okay, yeah. Bloodspattered Bride was kind of there, but it didn't go all the way, and so
we'll find a real one. Don't worry.
Thank you.
Google's horror themed softcore porn. Gay horror.
Are you Googling right now?
Yeah, she's Googling it right now. Anything good? The lemon stealing whore? Is that one of the ones that comes up?
There's a lot. I'll send you links. Don't worry.
Okay, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyway, so where would Matthew Lillard fit into this movie?
Of the one male role in this film.
Yeah.
So he would have to be Daniel.
Like we said during I think it's the Bloodspattered Bride earlier movie when we covered that one, I don't think we should restrict Matthew Lillard just to male roles. I mean, you know, he can play whoever he wants.
Oh, Matthew would be a great Jackie Megan.
Mm-hmm. We gender bend the entire cast so it's still gay but it's dudes. Matthew Lillard
actually
could play either.
He would be a great Jules. I would be really interested in seeing him taking on Jules, because we've seen Stu in Scream, you know what I mean? And even then he didn't have like that Billy turn, which is really more of what the Jackie deal is. He just from the beginning was like, you could gut somebody, gut them like a, you know what I mean? Like from the beginning, he's like, hi, I'm Stu and I'm not well. Whereas
I'm Stu and I'm a freaky fuck.
Yeah. Jackie at least has to fly under the radar here. I would like to see Matthew Lillard playing that like desperate for survival, but angry, but ready for revenge moment that Jewel has here.
I could fuck with that.
But he would also be great as Daniel. He'd be really fun as Daniel.
He would be really fun as Daniel. If we're gender bending this, the whole thing though, who would be the Jackie to Matthew Lillard's Jules? Like, who would we dream cast?
I think we revived the Billy Stu of it all.
Okay, thank God. Okay, good.
Yeah, we would have to.
So are you writing this fan fiction, Chelsea? Have you already written it? How many chapters in?
What if I was like, I have 75 Microsoft Word pages right now.
Chelsea, the people need it. The people need it now.
I will deliver some movie sort of Tumblr graphic or something for you. Graphic here.
Like, Chelsea watched this movie for the first time this morning and she already has 75 pages of AU of AU fan fiction.
But actually, the Billy and Stu of it all would be so perfect for a gender bend.
Seriously.
It would be so good.
I'd watch the fuck out of that. Let's do a fan.
Somebody make it happen.
Matthew Lillard, hello? What if that was the one phone call he answered from us? I think it would be worth it. I think this is
right.
Matthew Lillard, if ever you are to listen to Spooky Tuesday and get on board with one of our casting choices, this is the one.
Mm-hmm. This is it.
This is it. This is it. I'm excited for his reaction. It'll be positive. There's no way it won't.
There's no way he'll ignore this. Not in a single way. It's good.
No. okay, so this is actually going to be a hard question, but who is the dumb bitch?
Ugh.
It's hard.
I'd like to make a nomination, and I would like to nominate Sarah, who I think, you know, is kind of in a tricky position potentially. But if you think that someone from your past is a psychopath who murdered your friend, I would not electively get dinner with them. I just don't think that I would go out of my way to get dinner with them. Like, sure, go check on their cabin, make sure it's not being broken in. But Megan did not invite her to dinner. Jules is the one that came over and invited her to dinner. And I think if you feel too awkward to say no to those plans on the spot, you just cancel later. You know what I mean?
Right.
You don't have to go to the dinner. You don't have to go. Yeah.
You don't have people, to. You can do whatever you want.
That's a time-honored tradition of running into somebody from your past and being like, we should catch up, and then never catching up.
Yeah.
Right. And she also, once she gets to the dinner party that she shouldn't have gone to, runs upstairs.
Okay. I see all the points that you're making, but I also would like to take your Sarah and raise you a Daniel, because Daniel's supposed to be her loving and supporting hubby, and he doesn't take her real serious fear that Megan is a psychopath seriously. He's joking about it to Megan slash Jackie, which is that just shows that he doesn't care. This is, it goes back to all the things that we've said in all these different movies where, like, if I say that there's a ghost, my partner better fucking believe that there's a motherfucking ghost. It's the same thing. If I say my childhood best friend killed our other best friend and she's a psychopath, you need to believe me.
Fucking believe me.
Yes. And when I show trepidation about the dinner party, you better believe me. Also,
we are canceling.
We're canceling. And also the fact that he saw them like having a very serious murder yell-a-thon in a boat, and he was like, hey, girls, trouble in paradise.
Jules had blood all down the side of her face. And they kind of established that it was too far to see someone's face clearly. But I feel like the blood stood out against her very pale coloring.
Yeah, agreed.
Dumb bitch.
Like, I know she's not the overall dumb bitch, but like, Jules did have some dumb bitch moments, just like a couple. Know what I mean? Like,
she also had a few really smart bitch moments. And I don't know how much they offset each other.
But I know she's not going to win the overall award, but like, she went back.
Kind of brings her neutral.
Escaping. She then, she gets her in the trank dart and then runs to the cliff. She tries to outrun a girl with great shot in a rowboat after dislocating both of her shoulders. Like, girl.
She does initiate a rowboat chase.
Agreed.
She agrees to go to a cabin in the woods.
Dumb bitch move number one.
She earns the nomination.
She gets a nom,
but not the award. And even Jackie has her moments too, where she gets too big for her britches. She thinks, I've got this murder in the bag, this life insurance policy. It's going down. But then she underestimates young Jules. And there you go. That's a dumb bitch behavior as well. But she's also really good at what she does and looks really good as she does it. And so she's not going to win the dumb bitch award. That's for sure.
No, she wins the hot bitch award.
Yeah.
Good for her.
Good for us as well. I really think that it's Daniel, but I also will accept Sarah if I am outnumbered.
I feel like you fully swayed me on Daniel.
Oh, thank you.
I swing both ways, so I'm good with either or. Both
ways. Literally, we are different after covering Dead First Body. Just like I tweeted today, like, this movie changed me at a molecular level. Like, imagine if I had seen it when it came out. Oh, God. Anyway.
If you had seen it in the 11th grade, you would not be recognizable as the person you are today, I think.
No, because
it would have cooler. The changes set in last summer, I think we're still seeing it manifest, mm-hmm. but fully you would have formed a different personality, I think, if you had seen it at such a formative age.
Yeah. Monica, you could have been just like me.
Oh my God. Well, thank God. No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. Sorry, I'm kidding. I love you. It was a joke.
Oh, okay, sure.
Anyway, let's do our knives out of fives. Who wants to go first?
Set the scene.
Oh, yes.
Set the scene. This movie got a 5.7 out of 10 on IMDb. And what is really, really interesting to me is on Rotten Tomatoes, it got 83% fresh from critics and 43% rotten from audiences, which is huge, huge disparity.
Yeah.
And we went over on the Blood Spattered Bride episode how Rotten Tomatoes works. So that doesn't mean that like critics rated it an 83% and audiences rated it at 43%. It could be that 83% of critics rated it like just barely fresh and 43% of audiences rated it just barely rotten, but it is still an enormous difference. And so it seems like opinions really kind of run the gamut here.
I feel like it kind of makes sense though, because like some critics would just eat up all the fucking like thematic, beautiful cinematography stuff, you know? And like, you know, if you're going into this movie for a horror movie, you know, you might not appreciate the literal 4 minute long black light scene. Like it was long. I loved it.
Beethoven. Oh, yeah.
Long. Like, it was a long scene. And like the bear part was confusing. I thought the bear was there in real life because they skipped the black and white motif for showing things in the past. And I was like, well, now I'm lost. You got to stick with the motif. I'm absolutely lost. But yeah, okay. This is the first time any of us had seen it, right? I watched this at 7 a.m. on a Sunday morning, but it was gloomy that morning. And so good vibes for it. Great way, fucked up way to start your day, but a great one. But yeah, I really liked this movie. I wasn't sure. There are parts in the middle where I felt like it lost me a little bit just because it got a little slow. And there was a period of time where I was like, it must be over. And then I looked and there were 40 minutes left. And so I was like, oh God. But then the last 40 minutes were really, really good. So it redeemed itself. But yeah, I mean, for a modern horror movie with like a fun take, like I haven't seen something like with this exact same type of vibe. I think it was really well done. And I'm excited to see what this guy does in the future with his, with the rest of his movies. Cause I like, he's setting the groundwork for having some exciting ideas in the future. But for this movie, it's hard. I think it's actually like really good. So I'll give it a 4.0789. That's it. That's what it is. I was like, I can't do a 4.1. I did that for the last episode.
I'm going to give this a 3.5. I'm never going to watch this movie ever again. I didn't hate it, but it wasn't scary. There was no scares in it. I was just like, I think there was ways that it could have been scarier. The music, even though the music was like very intense, I was like, this isn't necessary right now. She's just rowing a boat. Like, so I was just like, 3.5.
Fair enough.
Fair. Very fair.
For me, I think you're right that a lot of it was really heavy-handed. You're right that the director was clearly showing his hand a lot of the time making the movie. It was a little, I don't know that I would say self-congratulatory, because I don't feel quite like that was the vibe, but he was clearly into and excited by his ability to experiment with like the different styles of filming, the different styles of shooting, like working in different things. And I feel like there could have been a little more work on, in some moments with the script. Like the, there was that moment we talked about earlier where Jules jumps immediately to, did you kill Jenny? That like felt like a total reach for all of us. Because none of us thought that that was what Sarah was implying. But for the most part, I think when I made a joke about there being five actors and one of them is a cliff, that is only slightly an exaggeration because the fifth actress is actually young Megan. But other than that, there are truly five people in this film and it's like the same three locations. Like they clearly did a lot with very few resources. Like it's a very contained movie. And so I think with what they were working with, what they pulled off was pretty incredible. I would watch more from this director. He and the actress who plays Jules have collaborated on like at least three other movies. So I would check those out too and see what the deal is. They both seem to like horror a lot. That said, I think Sydney's right. I don't know that I would watch this specific film again, but I would watch more from them. So I'm going to go ahead and give it, I think, 4 knives out of 5.
Nice. Awesome. I'm glad that you didn't hate this, Sydney.
Yes.
It really could have gone a whole different way. I think that, okay, this is a little trivia piece. Originally, the director had written this as a hetero movie where Jackie was a man and Jules was like a more subservient gender norms wife. And it was only in swapping the gender of the Jackie character that the Jackie character's lines and personality really didn't change. It's that like Jules evolved for them to be like a more even footing couple. I think that is really interesting, and I think that if this was a hetero movie we would all hate it. But being a lesbian film truly put in a lot of heavy lifting here in a great way. That said, I think that's not the only thing, because I think that element taken out and this film exactly as is otherwise would still be really good, but I think that's like what allowed this film to blossom into something fun and watchable and totally discussion worthy. And so I think that's part of why it was not a shit show for Sydney.
Yeah. If this movie was like a heteronormative movie, I would have fucking hated it.
No. Oh yeah. It would possibly be full dumpster fire trash.
Oh yes. Yeah. It would have been absolutely so bad.
A garbage can.
I just simply am no longer at a time in my life where I want to watch a man hunt a woman for 2 hours. I don't. It's not for me. It's not for me.
But if it was a woman hunting a man,
they hate to see a girl boss winning, and I'm rooting for her.
You know what? Good for her.
Good for her.
So, this is bringing us to our final week in Pride Week, right?
Mm-hmm, our last Pride episode.
I can't believe it. It's gone by so quickly, but don't worry. The spirit continues on in the pod every episode, so don't you worry for a second. But what is our final film? Who wants to introduce it?
Me. We are back to vampires, baby, and we are doing one of the best 80s movies just ever made ever, and it's The Lost Boys. It has both Coreys in it. It has young Kiefer Sutherland. Like
Kiefer.
No, my little Keef. Oh, you know? And it's just like all the good things about 80s movies and vampires and like subtle gay hints. One, everybody knows vampires gay. Like any movie about vampires, gay. Like
frankly, vampires and werewolves both very gay.
Yeah.
Very gay.
Big gay.
I'm excited.
Have you seen it, Monica?
I have, at least in part, but it was a really long time ago. And I just remember the vibes. I remember it being very red and dark and everyone being hot. But I don't remember anything that happens. And honestly, that's all I need to know going in. Red light vibes.
No. Good. I've never
Chelsea, I was like, one of you hasn't seen it. And it is Chelsea. Oh, Chelsea, you're in for a literal treat. This film is delicious.
And also, our Pride Month has skewed unbelievably, extremely women love women so far. So I'm glad at the last minute, next some gay male representation into there. Because they deserve it.
It's the final hour.
Yes, let our bias show 100%, but also Pride Month is for everybody.
I, for one, am stoked to see some gay men on screen, so love to see it, and I'm excited.
Our little fanfic moment just here with a gender swap to What Keeps You Alive. I think that should count.
That counts.
Yeah,
it will count, especially pages. Once it becomes a feature-length film that you write. And
give me a few more years and we'll be ready to do a remake.
Okay, perfect. I can be whatever female character there might be in it.
You'll be Daniela.
Oh, I'll be Daniela. I can be a drunk asshole with a bottle, with a glass of wine. Hey, fellas, trouble in paradise. Perfect. Incredible. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed listening to Spooky Tuesday. If you liked what you hear, why not give us a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts? We'd love to hear it. Or follow us on social media at Spooky_Tuesday. We're getting real close to 1,000 followers, y'all. So why not follow us on social media at Spooky_Tuesday on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok. That's it. And if you still are on Facebook and Tumblr, follow us at Spooky Tuesday Pod. Thanks for listening.
Bye, Spookies.
Spooky Tuesday was created by Monica Height, Sydney Thompson, and Chelsea Duff, and edited by Sydney Thompson. Our gorgeously spooky tunes are all thanks to Tamra Simons, who you can follow on Instagram at Captain Tamra, and our podcast art is by Mary Murphy, who you can find on Instagram at the_moon_OMG.
What turned you into this monster?
It's nature. Not nurture.